Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Close to the pin of shame.
Yeah, he narrowly avoids the pin of shame.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Did you just wake up? You look not refreshed.
Looks like he bummed a ride here.
Like you just crawled out of bed. You got a little bedhead going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, get your coffee on. And it's time for the show.
Is it?
It is Free Talk Live. Yes, it is. The telephone number, if you'd like to join us tonight, is 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me tonight,
Bigless Mountaineer.
And Richie Rich.
We're going to kick tonight's show off by saying, crappy birthday! 110 years of the Federal Reserve!
Boo!
I know. Like if the Federal Reserve was given a cake with a bunch of candles, I hope it burns the place down.
Well, I'd just like to soothe my soul with the knowledge that Henry Kissinger no longer walks the earth.
Well, and FDR too, right?
Yeah.
During his time when this whole thing like went into play. Not that,
like 100. And 10 years.
I mean, I'm 51, so you do
wait,
the math.
You mean they would pass that law on, like, Christmas Eve when no one was even there?
There are...
Well played.
There are libertarian types, if you will. And I say types because voluntarists, anarchists, or whatever. I'm not just talking about, like, Free State Project people or whatever, right? Or people, capital L, little L, whatever.
Big umbrella libertarians.
Right? Big umbrella. Huge umbrella libertarian types who... talk about dead presidents like they're still here somehow, you know? Well, it was so-and-so's fault. It's like, okay, yes, it was, but, like, were you alive for that to happen? Like, they have these opinions that, like, drag into this territory of that make you, like, they insinuate or imply that they were alive. And I'm like, dude, you're younger than me. There's no way you were alive for this particular regime to have taken place. But at any rate...
I mean, you can still point the blame, right?
Okay,
like if it's their fault, it's their fault.
It's
your fault that their policies are still being paid for.
It would be like the captain speaking in third person. Well, the captain is going to read something now, right? But no, that's me. I'm going to read something. I'm not going to say the captain's going to read something now, right? They speak as if they were there. They speak, they're like, well, what happened is, blah, 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 blah. And then, because of, and they speak as if they were, like, they're giving an eyewitness account of the details that happened instead of giving the historical facts, or at least as history has written them.
Okay. I mean,
well, I said it before, I'll say it again. If you get a time travel device, don't go for Hitler, go for Woodrow Wilson. No Woodrow Wilson, no Federal Reserve, also no World War I, no World War II.
Today, December 23rd, 2023, marks 110 years since the establishment of the Federal Reserve System. It stands as a testament to centralized financial control, perpetuating an intricate web of fallacies that plague the global economic landscape. A creation shrouded in secrecy and conceived on Jekyll Island. That's right, folks. If you're not familiar with Jekyll Island.
The Creature from Jekyll Island.
It's a great book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Check it out. Recommended reading for anybody of almost any age. As long as I don't even know if it's published in different languages, I assume.
But that book is a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, and the conspiracy theorists are what, like 25 and 0 over the last, 25 years? Right?
So we are running out of conspiracy theories that haven't come true at this point.
The Federal Reserve embodies a sinister creature that inflicts severe harm on the fabric of economic stability. Its inception heralded an era of fiat money. If you don't know what that is, look it up. It basically means fake or backed by nothing.
By decree.
Thank you. Fractional reserve banking. Again, if you don't know what that is, look it up. What it means in layman's terms is banks, if they wanted to give you a loan for $100,000, needed to have some percentage of that in reserve before they could make the loan. 10% is where it was whenever I discovered what fractional reserve banking was.
And then they waived that a few
years ago. They waived that, and so now every loan banks give out is just backed by nothing. It's not even a percentage-based thing. It's just like, yeah, sure, we'll just create money out of thin air for you, provided you have good credit and some collateral and a down payment.
So as bad of an idea as this is, you mentioned the libertarian types, and 2 or 3 months ago at one of the monthly meetup groups in the city closer to me, there was a gentleman who purported to be like one of us, handing out pamphlets about how the best way for New Hampshire to secede is to start our own paper fiat currency.
Oh, gosh. No. No. I'm sorry. I say that because I think that's a horrible idea. We saw what happened to the Liberty Dollar, right? Bernard von Nothaus.
Well, that's completely different. That was not a paper currency.
I understand, but...
Okay.
And I can actually... I can pick up a little bit of what he's laying down there. That, like, you
Did
know...
Did you talk to this guy?
No, no. Okay. But right. I can imagine an argument that makes some sense to that, in as much as, like, okay, if you're still using the U.S. dollar, you're still supporting the federal government.
Yep.
If you're supporting the federal government, you're not really working toward any kind of secession, so on and so forth. Fair enough. But replacing that with a more local form of theft is still a bad idea.
Yeah.
And I think that Argentina is a perfect example of this. So, like, yeah, they are a way, way smaller country. They don't run the world's reserve currency. But still, look at what happens, the kind of waste, fraud, and abuse that infinite power to print money does to people, enough like, to do 100% plus in inflation every year.
Like, before governments, United States governments, monopolized currency, right? Which is what they have done. Right? They're the only ones that can make it. We're the only ones that are authorized. You can't make it, right? Before that happened, there were a variety of, we'll call them local currencies, towns, cities, right? Communities often would have some form of their own local, oh, you're in, Dirtwater right now, and, well, we have Dirtwater dollars or whatever it is, right? Dirtwater, currency. And, yeah, you exchange this for that, and, and so, like, in my mind, that's how currency should have, like, sort of developed. It's like there's multiple places that have multiple different types of currency, and whoever has the best one or the most innovative one or the most transferable one or the most exchangeable one or whatever, would have become sort of the, we'll call it the dominant currency, but that also would not have stopped other currencies from being invented and trying to improve and be better than whatever the dominant currency is.
And the way we used to do it in this country was, like, the best version of that, where instead of it being, the municipality of Dirtwater has a currency. It was this bank issues its bank notes. And because this bank has so far been redeeming its bank notes in actual money, gold
silver, etc.
Since they've been redeeming them, those notes are still trading at face value. This not redeeming theirs. Their notes aren't trading that way.
To play devil's advocate then, the reason the Federal Reserve was proposed was because this local bank, Dirtwater currency, failed miserably in so many places.
We'll get to that.
You will always have a percentage of people who take advantage of trust.
Okay.
The point of that is to not centralize all trust into one entity taking advantage of everyone.
Understood.
And this article that I'm reading, it's actually a post from ANCAP Air on the twit. But... what I would say, because of where we're at currently, particularly in New Hampshire with the Free State Project and Liberty Movers, people who value liberty, want to see it in our lifetime, people who support the secession movement, NH exit, all that kind of stuff, What I would say to this guy who attended this meeting is I understand where somebody might find value in the desire to create a locally based currency, whether it's New Hampshire or, you know, some city or whatever it is. I get that that is a desire that somebody of a libertarian mind might have. That being said, I think a superior product already exists in the gold back.
Okay.
And so while I might agree that, yeah, in order for New Hampshire to secede, it needs to establish an alternative currency to the United States dollar, I think it already has that in the gold back and in various forms of cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm. The gold back needs a complementary currency for smaller values.
Oh, for change?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one gold back, you wait.
One gold back's like $4, right? So if I want to buy a banana, I can't do anything with a gold back.
But you can buy like eight bananas. Yeah.
Yes, but that will rot, right? I want a banana.
No,
on
you
my
just
way to work.
Eat the one banana, take the rest home, and make banana bread.
No, that's extra work. I want a banana.
But it's good nutrition,
right? When I'm at the grocery counter and I see the rack of candy bars. I want one
Richie Rich.
One Snicker
Richie
bar.
Rich, how many times have you walked into a grocery store and bought one thing?
You know, if it's one thing, I get picked up at the window.
Yeah. Well, okay, a grocery store, fair enough. But a corner store, you know, you feel like a snack. You go to the corner,
now,
you want to grab
there is a need,
thing of
there's
chips
a need.
Or whatever.
Currently, the places that I have been to that accept gold backs, when there is a need to, like, you know, oh, yeah, that was $3.10, and here's a gold back. Like, oh, that's right. They give me 90 cents in USD.
Right.
So, well, there's also the possibility of giving you one of the old dimes that's still made out of silver.
I have some of those.
Right?
Somebody actually used those as currency at the Fork Fest and Pork Fest this past year when I was, you know, selling some stuff. And I was like, yes, I will take. They're like, will you take? I'm like, hell yes, I will.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. I ended up with like a Joe Montana silver round as well. But when he was with the Kansas City Chiefs, not the 49ers.
Mm.
So like it's extra rare because like they only made so many of those. We'll get back to all of this. And
so silver could be it. Copper could be it for even smaller denominations.
If you need something that small, yeah. Well, that's why pennies existed in the first place is because... And they were the longest running, actually made out of something, but not anymore. Now
but even the Liberty Dollars Captain mentioned had like the $1 copper rounds.
Yeah,
right.
And to that extent, like Goldback, the organization has taken note of the need. They're like, oh yeah, we made this thing for small purchases, so you could buy like, you know, a coffee at Starbucks, right? I call Starbucks $4 because you can't get out of there without spending less than $4. You know, you always got to spend more. Anyway, they're aware that, like, there is some, you know, change, especially as the value of the gold back goes up in comparison to the dollar. They've tossed around the ideas of, like, making a perforated gold back so that you could tear off, you know, some, you know, 25% or, you know, 5%. I don't know what it is, right? So, you know.
Well, that's the old silver round.
Those
like pieces
those,
of eight was an ounce of silver cut into eight pieces.
I'm not going to worry about it because the people who are manufacturing this product, this gold back, already know that it's a problem, and hopefully they will innovate, particularly as competition comes to.
But it's difficult to say like right now that that's the perfect alternative to what we've got.
I mentioned NH exit earlier. Let's go to your calls and thoughts.
I mean,
we have
the perfect alternative is still in the cryptocurrency.
We have David Ridley calling. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
I was going to talk off topic, but actually I know something going on that is on topic here in New Hampshire. Can you hear me?
I can, yes. Go ahead.
Okay. So I was just listening to a podcast. I'm a little vague on the timing and the date and everything, but apparently New Hampshire Liberty activists and former Senator Jim Forsyth is involved in an effort to try and get New Hampshire currency. It would be gold-backed, and it would become legal tender, and there would be a crypto version of it, like a token, a crypto token that is backed by gold, and you could use gold as legal tender.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that would be the way to go.
I'm not sure that legal tender is quite the right word for it. I think that implies that people are required to accept it, I think it would, but I think it would just make it so that the government can accept it as payment for taxes. I'm not sure it would make anybody accept it.
Right. So I think that's a misnomer with legal tender to begin with, because legal tender is for debts, right? If you incur a debt to someone and they take you to court and they say, like, well, we need to settle this debt, you can use legal tender. But if you walk into, like, the grocery store or the corner store and they say, we only take gold for trade, right, you're not in debt yet, right? Now you're trying to trade. If you steal something and run out the door and then you get caught and, like, now you're in debt.
Yeah.
And now you can pay that back in U.S. dollars. So it might, you know, incentivize theft. But the legal tender is for payments of, you know, taxes and debts. Doesn't matter. You can barter for whatever you want.
I was going to ask you to clarify that, too, because, taxation to me is a very different animal than debt.
Understood. Right?
Debt is, you know, I borrowed something for somebody or I owe them restitution for something.
Yeah.
To me, that's debt.
I understand.
Taxation, however, you know, being theft, I don't actually owe anybody anything.
Right. You can make that distinction. And but was it didn't Jerk J, they had the Bitcoin store on Portsmouth?
They did, yeah.
That in order to buy anything from them, you first had to convert to Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like, I'm buying this and I'm going to pay in Federal Reserve notes because you must take it because it's legal tender. Right? No, that's what they're accepting because you're not in debt to them yet.
I never made it to that store when it was open. And, in fact, I don't even know if it was open when I first got here.
Okay.
But I wanted to go. Like, I heard about it. I'm like, this is great. And they had all of the things that you needed, right? They had, you know, some sort of an ATM where you could convert your fiat into crypto.
That you had to if you only had fiat on you.
Right. Or you could, like still to this day, Coinstar machines. If you have your spare change, right, and maybe that's a solution to the, when you get change from goldbacks or something, you know, you just take it to the Coinstar, convert it into crypto.
Okay. Right? That's an extra step. But it is.
But, like, you know, from a practical perspective in the now, Coinstar still will allow you to, when you bring your coins, dump it in the machine, it counts them all. It takes, I don't know, 5, 10%, whatever it is off the top. But then whatever it's going to give you back, you can choose to have it in a voucher for the store that you're at, or you can choose to have it converted into, I don't even know if they have multiple cryptos. I haven't used it in so long because, well, I no longer keep spare change around except for, like, in my ashtray. I've got, you know, some change in case I need to plug a meter or something.
Another example that just came to mind, Captain, you at Forkfest this past year in Porkfash.
Yeah.
Right? You were not taking Federal Reserve notes for your merchandise.
Correct. I was not.
Yeah. So, and no one said, like, you must take this because this is legal tender.
Yeah.
Right? Nor would they be...
No one even stole your merchandise and then forced you to take their dirty fetties after you took them to court.
Part of my reasoning for not accepting fiat at Forkfest and Porkfest was because you're at Forkfest and Porkfest. If you don't have a method, if you don't have upon you, if all you have on you is USD, walk around for 5 minutes or just go to random people, go, hey, could somebody exchange some USD for, and somebody else will, they'll give you gold back, they'll give you crypto, whatever it is, they'll fit, you know, they'll make you an offer, you'll make them an offer, whatever it is, you know, go, like, that's the experience that I wanted these people to have.
Yeah, they'll generally even do it at spot.
Right.
It's merchant's choice, and most merchants just choose Federal Reserve.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Yeah, and mostly that just comes down to trying to make the maximum number of sales, whereas you have something else in mind.
David?
Yeah, so anyway, a New Hampshire bill that would create a New Hampshire gold-backed currency, if I'm not getting my timing wrong, then I guess it would be heard between January and March. However, I don't know what the date of this podcast was, so this could be something from last year for all I know.
Okay. Do you remember the name of it, what it was called?
No, I didn't get the bill number or name.
Oh, very informative.
Sorry.
No, it's all right.
I'm pretty sure.
This was different from the topic he called about, Captain.
Yeah, I know. I'm giving him crap. Nothing but love, Dave. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say I'm pretty sure I'm earning my pay here. But the other thing I was going to call about was the treaty on the prohibition of nuclear weapons. Are you familiar with that?
No.
So nuclear weapons are actually now illegal. Most I think most UN members have signed on to this treaty. And it has, you know, like a monitoring regimen and certain, you know, certain things that member states are not supposed to do. But it gets very little attention, and the United States, you know, vetoed it. So it doesn't, you know, none of the nuclear powers signed on.
Of course not. Why would you?
But it,
you've got the nukes.
All the guys with the big bombs are like, no,
everyone,
that's okay.
Everyone without the nukes can sit and swirl.
But it is putting some pressure on the nuclear powers. Unfortunately, it's just not enough to stop this spiraling arms race.
Yeah.
And what I discovered is, you know, I go back every 6 months or so and just try to see where things stand with this. And really, I was shocked to see how little activity there had been related to the TPNW over the last 6 months. There wasn't much on YouTube about it. Which I was, you know, I was listening to that as a podcast. I haven't searched for very many other places, but, you know, it's a fairly big deal. I'm not a big fan of the UN, but it seems like for once it's been used for a fairly constructive purpose.
If you've got the nukes, it would be folly to give that up. There's no good reason to do so, politically or otherwise.
Then why did South Africa give up theirs?
Because they're foolish.
I don't think so.
What they wanted to do is make a statement that says, hey,
please invade us. We can't fight back with nukes.
Yeah, or, hey, we recognize that nuclear threats are even more grand, even a greater threat than just mere statism.
That's why you have the nukes.
What?
All of the former member states of the Soviet Union also gave up there that they had any access to.
Well, not all of them.
I still think it's
I mean, Russia. Come on.
I'll step for Russia.
A little important.
Let's scale this down. To end gun violence in the United States, we must all pass a treaty to turn in our weapons.
Yeah,
because
no,
it'd be safer for everybody.
No, what needs to happen, of course, is that, like, everybody should just be able to own a nuclear weapon.
That's what I'm saying. It's the complete opposite of what the proposal is.
Right.
The easiest way to defend yourself against a nuclear threat is to have one of your own. Then it's a standoff. Duel.
That's been gamed out. For instance, what would happen if making a nuclear weapon were just as easy as making a bow and arrow or something like that? The humans probably wouldn't exist anymore.
Hey, Mr. Ridley, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate you, man. Keep up the good work. 3D printed nuclear weapons, are they on the way? 603-283-6160. Should you be able to print one in the comfort of your own living room? Give us a call. Let us know. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
USA News Update. The Food and Drug Administration is cautioning consumers regarding counterfeit versions of the diabetes drug Ozempic, which is also widely used for weight loss. The FDA disclosed on Thursday that these fake versions have infiltrated the drug supply chain, prompting the inspection and seizure of thousands of units. Officials advise patients to scrutinize their prescriptions and avoid using units with the lot number NAR0074. Two Colorado paramedics have been convicted in the 2019 death of 23-year-old Elijah McClain, a young black man who was stopped by police, tackled, put in a chokehold, and administered ketamine by paramedics, leading to his death. On Friday, a jury found the two paramedics guilty of criminally negligent homicide, and that marks the third and final trial after two officers were acquitted and one was convicted in connection to the incident. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in and listening to tonight's edition of Free Talk Live. The telephone number, if you would like to join us, because we are a live call-in radio program where you talk about whatever's on your mind, is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio this evening... Stevening? There's not even anybody named Steve here, although I have mentioned on air several times that there are too many friends of mine with certain names. Steve is one of them. Chris is another one. And there's another one I can't think of right now, but it'll come to me later. But yeah, so anyway, in the studio this evening, it's myself, the captain.
Pickles Mountaineer.
And Switchy Switch.
Switchy Switch?
Whatever. Richie Rich.
Do you play the Nintendo Switch?
I do. Yeah? That's like my go-to. I have three of those things.
Really?
Yeah.
So you can switch
between them.
Between switches?
Kind of. Like I've got one
switch.
One in the living room, one in the bedroom, and the handheld.
How do you know which switch is which?
Well, because there's like all three of the different models currently. So it's pretty easy to determine.
Models. Before we go on, I want to tell you that you can join, me and other liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 13th through the 16th for the 8th annual Forkfest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Forkfest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which has sold out in recent years.
Yes, they have.
Forkfest happens the week before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Forkfest is decentralized, which means there's no ticket costs, and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 13th through the 16th. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum. You can find links to those at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there June 13th through the 16th, forkfest.party. All right. We started talking about crappy birthday to the Federal Reserve 110 years ago.
It was a decreasing value of your dollar.
It was established, and since then, something like 99% of the purchasing value of the dollar has gone away. That is to say, $1 110 years ago would buy 99% more than it does today. So if you could find something
today.
Yeah, so if you could find exactly. So if you could find something that costs a dollar today, you could have bought 100 of them in 1913.
And people still trust this thing.
Why? No, I don't know.
That sounds like we've had not 2% inflation a year.
No. The inception of the Federal Reserve heralded an era of fiat money, fractional reserve banking, and perpetual debt, and it established the constructs fundamentally. It established constructs fundamentally flawed, designed to serve the interests of a select few at the expense of many. That's you and me.
Yep.
At its core lies the fallacy of fiat money, a system wherein currency holds no intrinsic value and is instead backed by the mere decree of government. Subject to...
It's amazing. It's amazing to hear, like, anti-crypto people bring that up. But crypto is fiat because it's not backed by anything.
False. Crypto is backed by mathematics.
Understood. But then they totally disregard... the U.S. dollar, right? No. That's government money. That's so much better.
That's backed by the government.
Yeah.
So to get a grip on what sort of propaganda is being fed to the public regarding cryptocurrency, we have libertarians around the state of New Hampshire have these meetups that happen. Some of them are pretty regular. Some of them not so regular. I was at one of the regular ones, and one of our co-hosts, sometimes called Joa.
Okay.
He was outside, I think, having a smoke or whatever, and he's talking to some non-libertarian chick, right? I think he's hitting on her or whatever. I don't know what's going on. But I'm getting ready to leave, come do the show, and he's talking to her about cryptocurrency, right? And so I'm walking out the door. He goes, "Hey, Captain, she thinks that cryptocurrency, isn't a good idea." And I'm like, "Oh, really? Why?" And she's like, "Well, from everything on the news that I've seen, it just seems really shady." And I'm like, "You want to know what a really shady currency is?" And she's like, "What?" I'm like, "The United States dollar." And she goes, "Oh!" And then I turned and walked away. I came to do the show. But, like, no, really. Like,
and Joe, yeah, like
all of the terrorism in the world, all of the criminality, all of the kidnapping,
all of the
paid murders
is done in the United States dollar.
Yeah.
Until like cryptocurrency came along.
And even though cryptocurrency has come along, it's still all done in the dollar.
All right.
Not all, but like the majority of it is still the dollar. Like
the U.S. government has a lot of confiscated crypto, man.
Sure.
Like they're going to be spending it on bad stuff too.
But what they're putting forth is a whole bunch of BS propaganda that like somehow cryptocurrency is the choice
Monsters,
of evil doers.
Scammers.
No. The biggest scammer on planet Earth is government. And the biggest scam, the biggest pyramid scam, the biggest like false thing that you could ever hold in your hand is something called the United States dollar.
And it's lost value over 110 years.
Like all of its value.
Like all of it.
It's approaching all of it. Like everyone talks about hyperinflation. I go, is 99 not enough?
Right.
Is 99% not enough? Like, can we skip the hyperinflation part and just go, like, 99's enough, let's stop.
Well, that's not in a year, though.
I don't care. I don't care how long. If it's a year, well, then you're talking about hyperinflation. Like, why wait? It's around the corner, and even if it's not, like, right around the corner.
Well, but at least it's not volatile. It can be relied upon to be worth less every year.
Every year, yes. It reliably goes down every year. People hang on to this thing.
Well, you see, fiat is actually us. We're the ones demanding that this be used as currency.
No, we're not.
So I don't know what the book definition of hyperinflation is, but I believe hyperinflation would be where, you know, you get your paycheck today and you better spend it all because you can't buy the same amount of goods with it tomorrow. We're not there yet, right? If you get a paycheck for $100, right, you can, like, you know, if you can, right, like, hold on to some of that all week long. It'll buy you about the same amount of goods all week long.
All month long, meh.
Perhaps. But as we get to year long, right? Yeah. So I think that hyperinflation, at least the modern definition, means that, like, it can't be worth the same amount tomorrow, right, is what I think, the hyper part is. What we're seeing is inflation. We're seeing rampant inflation. We're seeing high inflation, and that's not just because people are, like, spending their money on weed.
I think the difference really at this point is just a few products at the grocery store will be a higher price tomorrow. I mean, I guarantee you that much. They aren't coming down. Right. They are going up. A few of them. Whereas what people expect with hyperinflation is all of them are going up tomorrow.
Right. But and we're also seeing, like, I'm trying to remember the name of it, shrinkflation.
Right.
Yep.
Right?
Smaller products.
In concert with the large rate of inflation, right?
See, it happens slowly enough that they can redesign the bottle.
Like, I went to buy a pound of, you know, some deli sliced chicken for sandwiches or whatever, right? And, you know, the bag that you buy in the deli. I didn't go to the deli and get it freshly sliced so that they actually weigh a pound and, you know, I went to, you know, the prepackaged area of my local grocery store and went, oh, look, it's some sliced chicken. I'll buy a pound of it. Little did I realize until I got home that the formerly 16-ounce package was now 14 ounces.
Mm. Hyperinflation, real quick, 50% per month.
50% per month.
That's what it says.
So I wonder where
as originally defined.
I wonder where we're at with USD in that. Like, I don't feel like if I had $1,000, I feel like I could buy about the same amount of goods at the beginning of the month as I could at the end.
Yeah, but if it costs $1,500 by the end,
then okay.
And then once it drops below that, that's the end of that hyperinflationary period.
Yeah, the canary in the coal mine for me is the dollar store. So they have
to move to $1.25.
Right. So here's something I think to track. How long do they get to hold it at $1.25? Because there's going to be a point where they're like, you know, we just can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they had to have plenty of meetings to be like, okay, how far can we go with this? Okay, look, we just cannot do another quarter of holding our prices at a dollar.
Well, and also remember that with the dollar store, like, the $1.25 part of it is what preceded the $1.25 was the lowering of quality to keep everything at a buck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So as everything got worse, so did the stuff at the dollar store.
Well,
as far as quality is concerned, because you couldn't get that quality for the same price anymore.
Right. And here's the thing: the quality didn't go up. Moved it to $1.25. They kept, like, they're already at the bottom.
Right.
They have scraped the bottom of the quality barrel.
That's what I'm saying.
Which means they're going to have to keep looking at that and keep watching. Okay, at this bare bone quality of near nothing, how long can we hold the $1.25 price? And at some point, they're going to have to move it again.
Yeah. Dear people who own and operate anything that resembles a dollar store, the dollar store, the Family Dollar, Dollar Tree,
Dollar General,
and all these kinds of places, I think that the right move for you financially is, because I've been to these places, and not everything in there is a dollar.
Well, Dollar Tree it was. Is it Dollar Tree?
Some of them.
Yeah. Dollar Tree
especially
is,
when they first came out. Hang on.
I don't count those as dollar stores.
I want to finish my statement. When these stores first came out, yes, there was a store called Everything is a Dollar. And yes, indeed, everything in there was a dollar. I think if you're going to move forward as a business, particularly with inflation the way it is, that what you're going to have to do in order to maintain the dollar singular in your business name is to just charge $1 for people to either join your club or to get in the door, like a cover charge or something like that.
All right.
Yeah, it's the dollar store, and that way we can offer stuff less expensive than the other places, so they're not pigeonholed into trying to make everything a dollar, right, where they have to have, like, loss leaders
well,
and all that stuff.
They're not anymore, because everything in every dollar store is more than a buck.
I don't know about that. I haven't been to one in a while.
Well,
but
Dollar Tree, everything is $1.25 now.
Right. Everything?
Yes.
Because everything was a dollar. They cut the quality of it as far as they could.
Did they change their name to $1.25
No, Tree? It's still the Dollar Tree.
Well, then they're false advertising.
Oh, both. Really? Yeah. Because Dollar General, all of those.
Family Dollar.
They, oh, $5, $10,
$7.50. Yeah, but those are different, right? Like, so, like, the store that was called Everything's a Dollar. Like, that's false advertising if everything in there is not a dollar.
Sure.
Right? If something in there is $2 or $1.25...
Pretty sure that store doesn't exist.
Well, it did at some point.
It did. And it's almost like the Federal Reserve means that we couldn't keep nice things like
that.
Well,
which
anymore.
Is neither federal and it doesn't have any reserves.
But Dollar Tree was the last holdout of everything in there was a buck.
Yeah.
And then they went, we can't sustain this anymore. Everything's $1.25. Sorry.
Let's go to some of your calls and thoughts. I believe this is Gigi in South Carolina. Gigi, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, everybody. Good evening.
Good
Number
evening.
One, my husband and I received two more letters from Mr. Freeman.
Wow. Nice.
Yes. Now, we have a question, please, Captain, because he said in one letter that on the 19th of December, this past week, he had a hearing to inform him as to where he would be relocated. Do we know that address yet?
The address, the hearing on the 19th, it has been postponed to my knowledge.
Okay.
And I don't have the new date as of yet.
Okay. Well, I, of course, responded. We will mail it. Hold on, please. Pardon me for coughing in your ear.
Use the cough button.
We will mail our response letter to Mr. Freeman Tuesday to the same address as we have presently.
Yes.
And secondly, once again, my husband and I finished watching a super flick with Gene Hackman and Mikhail Baryshnikov called Company Business about Russian and American spying. And as we saw the end of the movie, we looked at each other and we said, yes, perfect title, business as usual. Instead of working cooperatively, amicably, jointly for the betterment of science, medicine, technology, infrastructure, engineering, the same crap still goes on with every government. Now we have the European Union, and everybody is still looking out for themselves, spying on each other, and they are so-called allies. So nothing has changed. That's why I paid attention, and I thought about what you and Richie always emphasize. No government. Because it's always the same, even though the players change. I learned something this evening from you guys.
Aw, well, thank you
well,
so much.
Let me play devil's advocate again, then.
And I was a professor of international relations for 22 years down in Florida. But I take my hats off to you, gentlemen. I learned something.
Let's play devil's advocate again, then. In at least corporate American capitalist business structure, right, the competitors are competing against each other for your dollar.
They
right?
talked
Sometimes.
About that in
Most
the movie
times.
As well.
There
depends
are,
on which field. I mean, if you think that J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo are competing against each other, no, they are far more colluding than competing against each other.
They
as far as Jesus thinks, that would be a good
thing.
That
nature, then. Exactly what you are touching upon in the movie.
I'm just saying, competition breeds innovation. Generally, right? If you take out the competition aspect of things, then innovation is stifled, right? Because
well,
no one's trying to outcompete the others.
Well, they talk about industrial espionage, and I'm trying to use the proper phrase academically, entrepreneurial espionage.
Sure.
I learned a lot from this movie.
Right, but why is it? Why do we elevate it within the corporate structure and denigrate it within the government structure?
Oh, that's a good point. Aren't they one and the same, essentially? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I'm saying you would want, if you believe in the government system, you would want governments competing with each other, right? For if anything,
oh, I see.
Citizens.
Okay, yes. Okay, well, as I said, I take my hats off to you guys. I learned something. It's always important to keep an open mind, listen to other perspectives, because somewhere along the line, you can learn and still grow intellectually. So I take my hats off to you guys, and I say thank you.
You are welcome.
I'd say I'm way more concerned with when different governments cooperate and when the Republicans and Democrats cooperate. That is when the most scary things come out.
Oh, yeah.
What about the newly elected libertarian
quote-unquote
president of Argentina
who
has banned political demonstrations? I love it.
Like, I'm for any step in the direction of, the abolition of the institute known as government. And if that means, you know, disassembling, taking offline a bunch of different departments within a government, I'm for it.
Increasing social welfare.
And, like, the only, yeah.
Shame on you, Richard.
There are issues with what he's doing. However, there has been nothing like this in history since I've been alive. So I am paying attention to it. I'm not, shouting from the rooftops, look at how awesome this guy is, because I'm not sure. He says a lot of things that I think sound cool, and he's doing some things that I think are pretty cool.
So far.
As far as disassembling, organizations
in
the government in certain areas.
Democratic president of Ukraine, who just gets more and more and more money from good old USA, is banning free elections. But yet, he's a democratically elected official.
And trying to conscript old people so they have more frontline fighters.
No comment. Israel is doing the same with reservists. It's just as disgraceful.
Hey, I want to go back to your question about Ian Freeman and his rescheduled hearing.
Okay.
So the date for his hearing that had been scheduled on the 19th was canceled. And as of December 17th, we had no update. However, I'm looking at an update now. This is not official. This is from an individual that I think has the right information, but I haven't verified this myself. He says Ian's restitution hearing, this is where the government decides how much money they're going to rape Mr. Freeman for the no victims that apparently are involved in this case, has been rescheduled for January 8th. At 10 a.m.
So he will be where he is until then.
At least.
And then he will be transferred,
That there's one other, I don't know if it's a hearing, but some other procedural thing that needs to happen after this restitution hearing before he actually gets moved to a federal system.
That is part of the due process.
What I don't like about any of this, of course, is that I'm told, and again, from a person I trust, I haven't verified this information, I'm told that Ian is prevented from racking up what's known as good time, or good behavior is the old term they used to use for this, until he is in federal custody. So right
that
now...
That is correct.
And that sucks, because he's spending an enormous amount of time...
Well, his attorney can bring it up in writing, submit it, and argue it in a motion regarding serve time.
Okay, so I imagine
because
that...
Because it will be white-collar, minimum security, drug-less, L-E-S-S.
So if they move him, does that mean all the appeals happen in a court where he's not going to have the same level of community support as he would at the New Hampshire courthouse?
No, I don't believe that would happen.
Yeah, I don't know that. It depends
if they
on,
move him.
It depends on the location. I don't know that there's a federal penitentiary in New Hampshire.
So where are they moving him to?
I assume Mass.
Okay.
I assume the same place Aria is.
Not necessarily, gentlemen. You'd be surprised.
So if they move, let's say they move him to Arizona for whatever reason.
Kentucky
and
or
he appeals.
Iowa.
Right.
It all depends upon where he is sent. Who makes that decision? I don't know.
I don't care who makes the decision.
It's
I just want to know.
The Bureau of Prisons makes
that
decision.
Well, it would be of concern to his wife because
right.
she would want to be able to at least drive the distance to visit him.
Understood, but
so,
I don't think they're going to make that determination based on Bonnie's preference.
Well, to
I didn't say that that is how it's made. It's
right.
not
so
necessarily
my,
that he
my,
will
my
be
point,
sent to a federal
can you mute her for
facility
a second?
In Massachusetts. They could put him on a bus or a plane elsewhere.
Hold on for a minute. Go ahead, Richie.
My point is that if they move him, wherever it is, I don't care if it's Kentucky, Indiana, Iowa,
sure.
who gives a darn, right? When he appeals this, as he's going to do, right, are those hearings then going to be held in an Iowa courthouse? And if so, he's not going to get the same community-level
no,
support
it stays
of activists.
In the original jurisdiction.
So he would be then transported from an Iowa jail cell to a New Hampshire courthouse for any hearing,
no,
appeal here.
That part would be done electronically by video, but the attorney would be arguing the motions at hearings, motion calendars is the proper term.
In New Hampshire.
In the original jurisdiction.
And then would
because
the,
that's where the cause
so where would we
of
go
action
to support
or
Ian?
Causes, plural, of actions, plural, took place.
Are those hearings public?
Everything is public, well. Criminal and civil. The only thing that's never public is when it involves a juvenile who is being tried as a juvenile, not a juvenile being tried as an adult.
So we're going to go to the New Hampshire courthouse to watch Ian on the TV.
Hey, Gigi, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. If you want to call and comment about anything we've been talking about tonight or change the subject, bring up whatever's on your mind. It's Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. More is on the way.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.